We set a foundation last night to say that the little stone, Peter, had a revelation of the great rock, Christ. And that the mountain of Christ, the rock of Christ, is made of little stones. So we are meant to have the character, the nature, the way, the power, and the authority of Christ, because we're the body of Christ. So, Father, I pray right now that we will have hearts to hear, that we'll hear what you're saying personally, that not just what is spoken through my mouth audibly, but in our hearts, each of us would hear something from you, that we would hear it, and then we would be able to read it. It would be written in our hearts and our minds in the days that follow this moment, and that we'd be able to walk it out. And it would be something that gives life to our world, to our families, to that which is around us. So let this new covenant reality be truth today in Jesus' name. In Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about Jesus is the head, and it says that the body of Christ is the fullness of him. So he's an I am, not an I do. Which means every part that makes up the fullness of him is an I am. So could you say I am? I am. Now I'm not the great I am, I'm just a little I am. But when we get all the I ams together, we have a fuller expression of who he is. When we know who we are, we know what to do. But a lot of people spend their whole lives trying to figure out what to do, never knowing who they are. The cultures of the world are in an identity crisis. We can't condemn them or shame them. They're in an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. So we are the body of Christ. We're to demonstrate what it looks like when human beings know who they are. Now, if we condemn or shame anyone, we don't know who we are. When Jesus came, he didn't come to condemn or shame anyone. Not in their mistakes, nor in their successes. He came to give them life, and life more abundant. He came to reconnect them, to reconcile them, reconnect them to their Heavenly Father. He came to reconnect us to our Father so that we'll know who we are. We are the children of God. We're the offspring of God. And in Christ, we're the bride of Christ. We're the co-reigning partner of Jesus on planet Earth. And in heaven, since life does not end here, it transitions to a greater glory beyond what we can see here. But when we transition beyond here, something still remains in the earth behind us that should be the substance of something that came because of us. We should be living for gold, silver, precious stone, not just wood, hay, and straw. We shouldn't be living for things that can be consumed, but we should be living for qualities and characteristics of who God is. That change our children and our children's children. We should be the church, the body of Christ, that prevails against the influencing places of hell. We should be life givers. We should not be the needy. We should be the need meeters. In Ephesians 5, there's a great mystery. And we find the verses in verse 30 through 32. I'm just going to read those, and then I'm going to get into the core of my message. It says, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So Ephesians 5 talks about husbands, and it talks about wives, but it's really talking about Jesus and the church. Now, you can take the principles. You can take the values that are written there and you can apply it into a marriage and you can have a thriving marriage. You can find that it says there that a wife submits to her husband because he's giving life, just as Jesus gave life for us. It says that a wife submits as the church does to Christ because he's speaking life-giving words. I believe in you, babe. You can do it. You're awesome. You are an expression of life. She submits to him in everything because he presents her. He brings her alongside of himself in everything and sees her without any spots, any blemishes, any wrinkles. He says, yes, come on, co-reign with me. You see, the wife is not the helper of the husband. She's the helpmate of the husband to fulfill the father's will. Whose father? The husband's father and the wife's father. Adam's father and Eve's father. Adam, Eve constitutes mankind. The church is the Eve, the eternal Eve of mankind. Jesus is the Adam, the eternal Adam of mankind. Jesus did everything on planet Earth as a human being. He never gave up his deity, but he gave up the privileges of deity. He was always fully God, but he didn't do anything on planet Earth as God. He did everything as a human being, and he demonstrated what human beings are supposed to be like. He demonstrated what the other half of the relationship of Adam and Eve should be like on planet Earth. He demonstrated that the womb of God should be a supernatural womb. He demonstrated that the womb of God, the Eve, the body of Christ, should be filled with the Holy Spirit, that Christ in her should be the hope of glory, the hope of glory in any situation, in every situation, the hope of reformation, the hope of transformation. He demonstrated that the body of Christ is not a place that's bound by flesh and blood. So he says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined, and will be bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. We are the bone of the bone of Jesus Christ. We are the flesh of the flesh of Jesus Christ. The blood in your natural body brings life to your natural body. But the blood of the body of Christ is the Holy Spirit. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary made way for the blood of the Holy Spirit to be the life to every extremity of the body of Christ, to provide oxygen and nutrition and antibiotics and all of the hormones and the enzymes and the things that are necessary to give you energy and focus and expectation and attitude and life and anointing. The body of Christ is made alive by the blood of the new covenant, not the blood of the old covenant, not the blood that was shadowed in animals, not even the blood that was shed on Calvary, the blood that comes because of Calvary. You do not find the blood of the cross of Calvary at Calvary. You boldly come to the throne room of grace, and that is where you find that mercy has triumphed over judgment, and now grace can be found for your time of need. But your time of need is not a time to defend yourself. It's not a time to protect yourself. It's a time for you to rise up and be yourself. Your time of need is the time to become the body of Christ, the eternal Eve, the womb of God that brings life into your world. You see, Jesus didn't come so that salvation would be a rescue plan. He came that salvation would be an enforcing, sending forth, launching pad of purpose. Because the purpose of mankind, Adam and Eve, is to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill, to subdue, and to have dominion. Not just to be fruitful, multiply, and fill is repeating the past, but to subdue, to destroy death with life, to have dominion, to manifest as truth, and crumble every lie. This is the body of Christ. Peter had a revelation of it when he said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. One who bends like a reed as a son of the Holy Spirit. You are now a little rock, but upon this huge rock I will build my bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, my called out assembly for governmental decision in the earth. And the gates of the realm of the dead will not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever has been decreed to be loosed in heaven will be loosed on earth, thus it'll be loosed in heaven. Whatever has been decreed to be bound in heaven will be bound on earth, and thus it'll be loosed to be bound from heaven." Making decisions on earth as it is in heaven. Making decisions in your life as it is in heaven. Making decisions in your family as it is in heaven. Making decisions in this church as it is in heaven, making decisions in condemning New Mexico as it is in heaven. When? Now. I don't know how you say it in Spanish, but agora in Portuguese. Is it the same? Yeah, ahora es agora in Portuguese. Okay, so the time, yeah, es de tempo agora, is now, to make decisions on earth as it is in heaven. Now, let's look at Proverbs 31, and we're going to look at the story of the Proverbs 31 woman. And it begins by Solomon using a name that his mama called him as a term of endearment as a son. So Lemuel says, and that's a name for Solomon in an endearing way that his mama called him when he was little. And so when it says it's not another king speaking there, it's Solomon speaking, but he's saying, my mama told me not to go around with a lot of women. My mama told me to find a virtuous wife. Now, King David, when he was old, he stood up. I want to be able to still stand up when I'm old. King David stood up when he was old, and he said, I had it in my heart to make a place where God could rest, and the Ark of the Covenant of God, where the Ark of the Covenant of God could rest, where the manifest presence of God could rest, and the earth would be his footstool. So I made preparations for that. But God told me I would not do it because I was a man of blood. But he said my son would build that place. Now, Solomon was David's son. Solomon built a temple, but he did not build the place of God's rest. The son that David was prophetically declaring was Jesus. And Jesus built a temple, but the temple that he built is not just a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a church, a called an assembly of purpose, because it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the place where God rests in the earth. It's the place where God's presence abides. Not a visitation, a habitation. God likes you. God lives in you. God slept in your room last night because he slept in your body last night. He says, you are a member of the place of life. I like you. I'm affectionate towards you. I want your mouth to be open and for life to come out of it. I want your attitude to be an attitude that is life-giving. I want you to be bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh where you are to bring life to your world. And so the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 that Solomon's mama said you need to find is a prophetic testimony of the virtuous woman that Jesus came to find. The first Adam had within him a rib that contained the substance that was formed into Eve. The first Adam was secure in his identity, secure enough that he could go in the garden and he could give names, identities to animals. He was secure enough, he didn't need God, his father, to tell him what to call the animals. He looked at the animals, he knew what to call them, because he was a secure mankind who could give identity to places that needed identity. And his father, God, when he called the animals giraffe, said, good one, son, I like it. When he said elephant, I like it. Now, I don't know what word he used, but he used the identity of animals. And so he wasn't looking for someone in his life to give him identity. But God knew he could not fulfill the task that was set before him unless he had the full identity of the likeness and the image of God. God is a plurality. He is the Father. He's the expression, the Son. He is also the Spirit, the birther, the life giver, the womb, if you will. He's the source of inheritance and he's the birthing place of inheritance. He's the expression of inheritance. He's God in his Trinity. And mankind, male and female, were made to be in the expression of God. So the first Adam, after he gave identity to animals, had to go to sleep. And when he went to sleep, God took from inside of him a rib, something close to his heart, something in the secret place of intimacy, and he formed a woman, and he breathed into her as he breathed into Adam, and made a woman which was bone of Adam's bones and flesh of Adam's flesh. And when Adam awoke, he said, "This is my partner. This is my co-reigning heir on planet Earth to fulfill the will of the Father." Not the will of Adam, the will of the Father. The last Adam, the eternal Adam, when he hung on the cross at Calvary, the sixth place that he shed blood was from his feet, a place of standing on an iron nail of judgment. And instead of being scorned and wounded by those who rejected him, he refused to let us kill him. We did not kill Jesus on the cross. Jesus died. He willingly died. I saw someone posted today that religion killed him. Religion did not kill him. Love killed him. If you hate religion more than you love Jesus, you are religious. Jesus died for religious people and non-religious people. And this is what he said as eternal Adam. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And then he died. The seventh and final place that he shed blood was after he fell asleep, after he died. And they pierced his side. And from the place of his eternal spiritual life-giving rib, blood and water fell to the soil beneath the cross. That soil was the soil of New Mexico. That soil was the soil of Washington State. It was the soil of Europe, the soil of Africa, the soil of Central America and South America. It was the soil of planet Earth. It was the real estate of humanity of which every nation, tribe, tongue, and people would come forth to be formed into an ecclesia, a many-membered body to make governmental decisions on earth as a co-reigning partner of Jesus. The final act of Jesus was to allow a spiritual rib to be removed from his body so that the body of Christ could be formed from the nations of the earth for the purpose of fulfilling the mandate to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill, subdue, and have dominion. So from the side of Jesus, the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 was taken. And from the side of Jesus was now destined from the soil, from the real estate of planet Earth, from the DNA of humanity, the destiny to form a life-giving womb of God in every family, in every situation, in every location, to transform a world by the life that comes from heaven. So let's read the Proverbs 31 woman. In verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." This is us in this room. We're virtuous. Virtue means to be a life giver. Virtuous means I don't need anything. If I'm virtuous, means I live to give things. I live to give life. I'm like nobility. I'm virtuous. I give life. I give life. I know who I am. I'm secure in who I am. So the Proverbs 31 woman, the bride of Christ, not the one day to be wife, the present wife of which Jesus does not see any of her spots. He does not see any of her blemishes. He does not see any of her wrinkles. He gives her life, he speaks life-giving words to her, and he brings her alongside of himself in everything. He doesn't see any of her flaws. He sees who she is, not what she is. He sees the identity that's found from the substance of which she is formed. So she is virtuous. She lives to do good. She lives to make the world a better place. Come on, we are the body of Christ in Deming, New Mexico. We live to do good. We live to make Deming a better place. We live to make our families a better place. We live to make those who are joined in our spheres of influence a better place. We live to change the environment around us towards good. We're secure in who we are. We live for the family name. This is what we live for. We're the eternal Eve, for goodness sakes. We're unshakable. We're eternal Eve. We're not the first Eve. We're the last and final Eve, as He is the last Adam. Thus, mankind is complete in Christ. Verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. See, she's trustworthy and has full access to all that her husband has. We have full access to all that Jesus has. We have full access to resurrection from the dead. The very same Spirit that rose Him from the grave is able to bring the testimony that saves. She knows her husband and her husband knows her. It's a place of abiding. It's a place of intimacy. Do you understand that your husband knows you and trusts you? That our husband Jesus knows us and trusts us. She expands the boundaries of her husband's posterity. We expand the boundaries of Jesus' name. Jesus was in a little place in the Middle East, but now He's in Deming, New Mexico, for goodness sakes, because the life-giving womb of God, the co-reigning partner of Jesus, came from the earth of Deming, New Mexico. And here she is, the multi-membered ecclesia, the virtuous woman, the Proverbs 31 woman, dealing in the real estate of the earth on behalf of her husband. And her husband trusts her. She does him good, verse 12, and not evil all the days of her life. She does good for her husband's name. When you see her, you see her husband. When you see this ecclesia, you see Jesus. You see the name that's above all other names. You see a life giver, not a taker. You see a life changer, not someone who's changed by the circumstances of life. She does him good, not evil, all of her days. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Wool and flax is material that you use to weave. You use wool to weave things. You use flax to weave baskets. Baskets are places of provision. Clothing comes from places that are weaved. Coverings, places, relational things. Weaving speaks of relationship. See, this Proverbs 31 woman, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, here, today, in this room, sees relationship as the purpose of her hands. And her hands empower relationships. She doesn't see works as the purpose of her hands. She sees relationship as the purpose of her hands. Weaving material is in her hands. Relationships are in her heart. She lives for significance, not success. She doesn't live to get. She lives to give greater value to someone else. She wants to weave here and weave there. Instead of just holding something in her hands, she wants to make a basket. She wants to intertwine this one with that one and this one with that one. She lives to love and doesn't get her identity out of what she does. Verse 14. She's like a merchant ship. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She lives to embrace new things, for goodness sakes. She trusts the wind in her sails to go places she's never gone before. She's willing to reach for her supply. She's willing to stretch to do things that go to new places that she's never gone before. Come on, you're the body of Christ. Are you willing to put your sails to the wind and, like merchant ships, trust what you've never seen before? I don't care if you're 80. I don't care if you're 90. I don't care if you're 105. Are you willing to stretch another measure for the sake of the treasure that you can bring in the day called today? Why? We're the womb of God. We're the virtuous woman. We're the one that He was looking for, that's bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh. We're the co-reigning partner of Jesus, the fullness of Him in bodily form. Verse 15, she also rises while it's yet night, and provides food for her husband and a portion for her maidservants. In other words, she lives for purpose, not for comfort. She's not afraid to get up in the middle of the night. Why? She lives for purpose. She rises in the darkness to provide food for her household. She doesn't get up in the middle of the night to get a snack. She gets up in the middle of the night for provisions for her household, for her children's children, for her children's children's children. She provides for friends and servants in her household because she knows that food is what she was born to give. She's the womb of God. She's the co-reigning partner. She's the bride of Christ. Verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. From its profits, she plants a vineyard. See, she has a 100-year plan, this lady. This body of Christ, this ecclesia, this called out many-membered assembly to bring the influence of heaven into the earth. She has a 100-year plan. She purchases real estate and establishes vineyards. It takes a little while to get some wine from a vineyard. When you plant a vineyard, you don't immediately get grapes. And when you want to get wine, you don't immediately get good wine from new grapes. You need a little ancient history. You need a little time in the root before there's goodness in the fruit. So you don't plant a vineyard for a crop this year. You plant a vineyard for a crop in the generations. And the older the vine, the better the wine. So you plant something with purpose. She purchases real estate. She establishes vineyards. She seeks to possess the earth. She looks at Deming and says, "Oh, Jesus, I want to buy this piece of land." And he says, "Oh, babe, I like it. What did we buy today? What real estate did we invest today? Oh, you won't believe what I found, honey. I found some dirt in Deming that has potential. And I put some root down in the ground. And we're ready for the fruit that's going to come." See, she's the Proverbs 31 woman, bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. She seeks to possess the earth, to cause the earth to give life to the community. She invests her profits in the future generations. See, her profits plant a vineyard. She invests her profits. Are you investing your profits in the future generations? Are you understanding that the blessings of God in your life today are for the roots that will bring fruits for tomorrow? You understand who you are? Do you know who you are? You're the Proverbs 31 woman, the many-membered body of Christ. So she invests her profits for the future generations. She lives to change the world through generational inheritance. She lives to change. It doesn't matter. No weapon formed against her can prosper because she does not live for the moment. She lives for destiny. And even what the enemy intends for evil can turn for good. Why? She's got time. It's called eternity. You see, eternity is in her heart, in her investment scheme. Eternity is in her heart, in her investment plan. Eternity is in her heart when she looks at Deming. Eternity is in her heart when she looks at America. Eternity is in her heart when she looks at the nations. Hellfire is not in her heart. Eternity is in her heart. What's in her heart? Vineyards are in her heart. Roots for future fruits is in her heart. Purchase of real estate is in her heart. Investment in the land is in her heart. Not escape, not all fly away, oh glory, but oh glory, let me buy this piece of real estate is in her heart. She's the helpmate of the eternal Adam. She's the eternal Eve. She's the womb of God in the earth. She is the bride of Christ, bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Verse 17. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She strengthens herself for she knows her purpose. But her strength is not a strength of independent flesh. Her strength is the strength that rose him from the dead. Her strength is resurrection life in her heart. Christ in her is the hope of glory. She strengthens herself for she knows her purpose. She strengthens herself to reach out for others. She brings salvation to people. She brings salvation to situations. She knows who she is. Oh, an opportunity has arisen. Look, there's a need. She knows who she is. She stretches out her arms. She stretches out her arms. She's not like the women of the world. She's not a taker. She's a giver. She's a virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. She's a blesser. She's a giver. She doesn't have needs. She's a need meter. She's the womb of God, the many-membered body of Christ. She knows how to be strong in every situation. Her strength comes from within her. Come on. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You've come through difficult things. You can come through difficult things again. You've come through days of blessing. You can come through greater heights. It's not your first rodeo. Goodness sakes, you're the body of Christ. Come on. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is good. And her lamp does not go out by night. See, she lives for purpose all the time. She knows who she is. She never stops being who she is. She doesn't just who she is when she comes to church on Saturday morning or Sunday morning. She is the church. She is the bride of Christ. She is the called out assembly to bring the influence of life in the earth. She knows who she is. She never stops being it. Her testimony is good and her light is obvious to the community. Come on. My testimony as the bride of Christ is good. It's obvious to those around. When I walk into a dark room, everything shines. Come on, when you walk into a dark place, there's hope. When you walk into a hopeless situation, there's hope. When you walk into a room full of coffins, somebody's going to sit up. Come on, you're the bride of Christ, for goodness sakes. You're a virtuous woman, bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. Now, a distaff was originally a short staff that held bundles of fibers of flax or wool. She was ready to spin yarn or thread. She's always ready to spin yarn or thread. She's always ready to establish the testimony of relationships. Say it, relationships. Relationships. What does the enemy fashion weapons against? Relationships. Okay, it must be great because the enemy targets relationships. It must be the greatest treasure because the thief seeks to steal it. Relationships. She holds things in her hands, the substance in her hands that can create new relationships, that can heal relationships, that can weave and mend relationships. She has the distaff and the spindle in her hand. She carries the material and the means of which doing it. She's already ready to establish the testimony of relationships. She's ready to clothe others, to cover others, to love others. That's what you spin relationships for. That's what you weave clothing for, to cover them, to warm them. Love covers a multitude of sins. She lives to equip through relationship. She lives to equip for relationship. Come on, this is the Proverbs 31 woman, the bride of Christ, the called out assembly for governmental decision, in deming as it is in heaven. Oh, you may not get it all done in your lifetime, but remember who you are. You got an eternal vision. This is not it. You've got children and children's children on this side, and you got a cloud of witness on that side. You can't lose. You're the bride of Christ, not someday. He's not coming back to marry you. For goodness sakes, he's already married to you. He calls you bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. He gives life to you. He speaks life-giving words to you. And he presents you. He brings you alongside of himself in everything to bring glory to the family name for the Father's will. Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. She cares for the poor and needy. It actually means she makes decisions based upon who she is, not what others deserve. If you look at Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, it says of Jesus the head and Christ the body, no decision is made by the seeing of the eyes or the hearing of the ears. But she decides with equity for the poor. In other words, she's able to forgive the unforgivable. Why? She's forgiveness. She's able to love the unlovable. Why? She is love. She's able to have hope for the hopeless. Why? She is hope. She is the substance of the equity of heaven, and from her womb comes life. She makes decisions for those who have not based upon who she is. She has a different justice system than the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She has a justice system of life, love. She lives to love the world that she is in. She's confident in who she is, and she loves the world that's been given to her. She loves the world that's been given to her and her husband for the glory of the Father. So she cares for the poor and the needy. Verse 21, she's not afraid of snow for her household. For all her household is clothed with scarlet. In other words, she keeps her household prepared for every season. She's not afraid of winter. She's not afraid when nothing's growing. She's not afraid when everything looks impossible. You know, snow is a sign in Scripture of supernatural things. But snow doesn't provide water today. I live in a part of the world where we depend on snow. If I was a farmer, I would get excited if I have a good snowpack. Because then I know in the summer months, I'm going to have a good crop. Why? Because the water table is going to be up. You see, it's a miracle. It doesn't happen in the winter season. It happens because of the winter season. But it happens in the season of harvest. So she lives without fear, for she knows the blood of the Lamb is enough. She's clothed in scarlet. She knows the blood of the Lamb is enough. Mercy's triumphed over judgment. She can find grace in every pace. She can find grace in every place. She knows. She's the Proverbs 31 woman. Verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. In other words, she sees herself as holy and royal and dresses accordingly. You can tell it in her attitude. You can see it in the ambiance that comes off of her. You can see it in the perspective, in her thoughts, in her thinking. She sees herself as holy and royal. She dresses accordingly. She knows she is priestly. She knows she's kingly. Come on, do you know who you are? You're the body of Christ. Do you dress accordingly? Do you wake up in the morning? Do you have an attitude that's holy, an attitude that's priestly, an attitude that's kingly? I'm part of the body of Christ, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. And underneath the feet of this body are principalities, powers, rulers, every name that's named in any age. As I'm the helpmate, I'm the Proverbs 31 woman. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. And when he sits among the elders of the land, see, she knows who her husband is. And she knows his influence in the city. Do you know who your husband is? Do you know who Jesus is? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him as a man, as eternal Adam. Therefore, He said, go and put your peoples, go put our peoples under the influence of life. Submerge them into the identity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them as He teaches you. And by the way, He's manifestly with you every moment. Do you know who Jesus is? He sits in the gate, for goodness sakes. He sits in the place of influence. There is no influence greater than His influence. Don't tell me that darkness wins. Impossible. He is light. Don't tell me death wins. Impossible. He is resurrection life. Don't tell me hopelessness can prevail. Impossible. He is hope and He cannot fail. I know who my husband is. I'm part of the body of Christ, the many-membered body here in Deming, New Mexico. Here, in your family, come on. You're the Proverbs 31 woman, for goodness sake. Bone of His bones, flesh of His flesh, empowered by the Holy Spirit within you. Don't be ashamed of the Spirit that dwells within you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not the hope of going somewhere, but the hope of being someplace. The hope of being the place that inhabits the power of grace. You're the Proverbs 31 woman. The one that Solomon's mama said, this is who you're looking for. Verse 24, she makes linen garments. She sells them, supplies sashes for merchants. In other words, her influence extends to the nations like merchant ships. She extends to the nations. She extends to the generations. She influences nations to become priests, to become kings. She's not only clothed in it, she's a clother of it. She makes linen garments. She sells linen garments. She causes others to become holy. She supplies sashes. She causes others to be clothed in royal and priestly attire. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. See, she lives in a culture of strength and honor. She gives strength and honor to others. Her testimony is one of strength and honor. Others know who she is and honor her. You can see it. She's a testimony of strength and honor. Come on, body of Christ. Come on, church. Ecclesia. Ecclesia, I'm calling for the many-membered assembly to come together in Deming, not to condemn a single soul, but to be hope for this place, to be hope for your family, to be life, to be the place that connects people, connecting people to God, for goodness sakes. City life, right here. Strength and honor. She lives by faith, has no fear of tomorrow. She lives by faith. She has no fear of tomorrow. The opposite of faith is natural sight, but natural sight never shakes her because she's motivated by love. And fear is cast out by love. And faith works by love. In verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness, not the law of law. The law of kindness. The law of law says you're guilty, die. But the law of kindness says mercy, live. She has the keys to the future. She speaks wisdom. Wisdom is always about the future. She has the keys to the future. She speaks wisdom, is filled with love for others. Do you understand that tomorrow in Deming is dependent upon the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of men? It's dependent upon wisdom that's an expression of love, not wisdom that's an expression of hate. She's not afraid of disunity because the grace that she walks in brings unity, causes diversity to become a testimony of unity. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Hey, no tang tempo per isu. She doesn't have time to waste. She knows that she's got purpose. She knows that she's got destiny. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She's always awake for the sake of the ways of her household. She's never idle. Are you awake for the sake of the many-membered household of God? She's awake for the ways of her household. She's never idle in her actions or purpose. She speaks love, not judgment. She speaks love, not judgment. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. See, the fruit of her house is a testimony of the children of inheritance. The eternal Adam, the eternal Eve are producing the offspring of mankind in the likeness and the image of Father God. She hears the words of her husband. He speaks blessings to her. Are you hearing the words of Jesus this morning? He's speaking blessings to you. He's giving life to you. I pray that you're hear what he's saying today. I pray that you'll be able to read it, that it will be written in your heart and your mind. I pray that you'll be empowered to walk this out. It's a new covenant, N-O-W, now, reality, every moment of becoming the body of Christ, the Proverbs 31 woman. Verse 29, many daughters have done well. Ah, but you excel them all. She's lifted up to rule, for the favor of God is on her. The favor of God is on you. Say, the favor of God is on me. Say, the favor of God is on us. We're the body of Christ. We're the Proverbs 31 woman. The favor of God is on us. I don't care what the future forecast is. I don't need to look at some app. I don't need to go to some application on my smartphone to get smart. I'm already smarter than smart. I've got a knowledge that surpasses knowledge. I've got a peace that surpasses understanding. I've got something in my heart that says, I know who I am. I'm a member of the body of Christ, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. Verse 30, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The fear of the Lord is all about prayer, but prayer is all about your children and your children's children. Gentiles pray like this, help, help, meet my need. What will I eat? What will I wear? Where will I go? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? They're like lost sheep. That's people who don't know God. God loves those prayers, but it's the prayers of people who don't know God. It's not the prayers of the body of Christ. The prayers of the body of Christ are in awe of Him, where they take the first and they give it to Him. They take the first and they give it to Him, knowing that what they give to Him guarantees He will be in everything that follows. And they spend their lives for the zeal of the house of the Lord. They spend their lives for the zeal of that which goes beyond them. So she lives in awe of the Lord and the power of prayer. And in verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. See, what she puts her hand to is fruitful and confirms her life-giving authority in the earth. What you put your hands to in Deming, New Mexico, in your family, in your church community, in your neighborhood, is going to be fruitful. It is fruitful. And it's going to be confirmed by the life-giving authority that comes off of you. You see, you're the body of Christ, bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh. And you live to do good. You're secure in who you are. You live for the family name. You're trustworthy. And you have full access to all that Jesus, your husband, has. You know Him, and He knows you. You expand the boundaries of His posterity. You do good for His name. You do good for Jesus' name. You see relationships as the purpose of your hands, and your hands empower relationships. You embrace new things. You live for purpose and not comfort. You have a 100-year plan. You seek to change the world through generational inheritance. You strengthen yourself. You know how. It's by Christ in you. You bring salvation to people. You bring salvation to situations. You know how to be strong in every situation, in any situation. You live for purpose all time. You live for a good testimony. It's obvious to the community around you. You're always ready to establish the testimony of relationships. You care for the poor. You care for the needy. You make decisions for others based on who you are, not what they deserve. You keep your household prepared for every season. You see yourself as holy and royal, and you dress accordingly, inwardly and externally. You know your husband. You know who he is. You know who Jesus is. And you know his influence in the city of Deming. Your influence extends to the nations, to the peoples beyond you. You live in a culture of strength and honor, and you give strength and honor to others. You live by faith, and you have no fear for tomorrow. You have the keys to the future. You're always awake for the sake of the ways of your household, the ecclesia, the called out many-membered body, the womb of God in Deming, New Mexico. You hear the words of your husband. You hear the words that come by Holy Spirit, who's come in His name. It speaks to your heart, not your head. It speaks to your spirit, not your soul. You're lifted up to rule because the favor of God is on you. And you live in awe of the Lord and for the power of prayer. You give knowing that when you give, the world will be changed beyond you. You put your hand out and you know it's fruitful. And the fruit of your hand, the fruit of your way, confirms your life-giving authority in the earth. You're the Proverbs 31 woman. You're the body of Christ. You're the fullness of Him. So, Father, I thank You for the body that's present in this room. I thank You for the body that's represented in this room. I thank You for those that are out there praying Gentile prayers that are going to be grafted in this year. I thank You for those that are going to find their place in knowing who they are. I thank You, Jesus, that You allowed Your side to be pierced so that something from inside of You could touch the real estate of Deming, New Mexico, and call forth from the soil an ecclesia, a called out assembly for governmental decision, so that there can be a joining of two and three and two and three and two and three that come together in the character, the nature, the way, the power, and the authority of Jesus' name. And what they ask is done. Your kingdom is come. Your will is done exactly as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.